The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
So I could say that day one of the recall, we took action as a whole of government approach. And the president understands how challenging this is.
We can't let up the infant formula market back until it's all the way back to normal. And that's going to take a couple more months, but we're making significant progress.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
You know, years ago, my wife said, why don't you not just jawbone about issues on the air? I know you're a big mouth on the radio, but why don't you put your radio show and the heft of your audience to use? Why don't you do something for people? And we began sort of a philanthropic side to this show. And I can tell you that Prison Fellowship is one of the happiest, most joyful things we've ever done. The Prison Fellowship Ministry is extraordinary, okay? And it is a ministry. I have been to summer camps. I have met children who are the children of incarcerated Americans. I have visited with many of the beautiful people who comprise the Prison Fellowship team. And, of course, I've been telling you all month about the Prison Fellowship Academy, which is changing hearts and minds within the prison walls. At Christmas time, I get such a kick out of knowing that this audience is going to step up and participate in our Angel Tree campaign, which delivers Christmas gifts and the gospel to the children of prisoners. And the beauty of it is the children understand that these gifts are coming from their mom or dad in prison, but you're really the magic behind that. You're the impetus. And we thought it would be successful when we first started partnering with Prison Fellowship a couple of years ago. It has exceeded our wildest expectations. So it's kind of neat to take a couple of moments to chat with the president and CEO of Prison Fellowship. This is a guy who spent many, many years as a very successful executive, and since 2016, he's been at the helm of Prison Fellowship. James Ackerman, it's great to welcome you back to the Mike Gallagher Show. How have you been, sir?
Mike, I've been great. Thank you for that kind intro. And how have you been doing?
I'm excited because I keep getting great feedback about people learning about the Prison Fellowship Academy. We've been sharing stories from prisoners whose lives have been upended and changed for the better. They've taken a path that they never expected to take. Can you just start by telling us what it must feel like to be the president and CEO of a ministry like Prison Fellowship that is, you know, when we've got so many challenges we're facing right now as a country, and we see crime in the streets and raging inflation and the divisiveness we're experiencing as a people, it must be gratifying for you to be able to go to work every day and do what you do with Prison Fellowship.
Oh, this has been, leading Prison Fellowship has been the highlight of my career, to be frank. I love going into prison. I love working with the men and women in prison and helping people to see that there's a better way and that they can overcome the brokenness of their past and the mistakes of their past and step into new beginnings and live productive and healthy lives, which result in safer communities.
You know, I this has come full circle because I've become so enamored with Prison Fellowship. This year, we're based in Tampa, Florida, and I started giving out my snail mail address. Normally, we get emails and text messages. We're in an electronic era. But recently, we said, why don't we give out our mailing address, which is P.O. Box 25358, Tampa, Florida, 33630. Well, a very funny thing started happening. Not only do people who don't like to use computers write the show, but prisoners from all over the country are writing the show because they don't have access many times to computers or email, and they write me letters. And the letters I get from people who are incarcerated have touched my heart because, you know, again, as a big mouth on the radio, we throw around, you know, law and order, crime and justice and the rule of law, and we sort of diminish or minimize prisoners to sort of a statistic. We don't think of them as husbands or fathers or sons or daughters or wives. And to read the words, the handwritten words from people who are behind bars about their hopes and dreams, the acknowledgement of the mistakes they've made in life, and their spiritual beliefs. I mean, it's almost like God is talking to me through Prison Fellowship, because I'm sure that's been sort of your journey with all the years you volunteered with Prison Fellowship prior to becoming the president and CEO. It is an amazing revelation to know, wow, these are people. These are people who hurt. These are people who have fallen, but they want that path to redemption and to get back into becoming productive citizens again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The first time I stepped into a prison was in 2004 as a guest of Prison Fellowship to see the Prison Fellowship Academy, which is what we're talking about here. And the experience was transformative for me because I realized that these men who I was visiting with that day are people. And we all have made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Not all of our mistakes have led to us serving time in prison, that's for sure. But we've all made mistakes. And we begin to see that men and women in prison are people as well. In the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul encourages us in Hebrews 13:3 to remember those in prison as if we are serving with them. We're called to have an empathetic relationship with those in prison. And when we do, we begin to see the stories that you are experiencing through these letters that are being written to you by people that are experiencing real transformation, who decided, you know what, I need to get my life together. Whatever I've been doing is not working for me, and I need to be doing something different.
I remember years ago, I saw Chuck Colson in an airport somewhere. I remember it was a small airport. I thought, boy, this is kind of peculiar that I would run into Chuck Colson, who, of course, of Watergate infamy, and he was the guy who you know, spearheaded Prison Fellowship, right?
Right.
And I went up to him like a dope. I went up to him sheepishly and I just said, thank you, because by then Prison Fellowship was up and running and I knew he was behind it. And I just thanked him. And he was very kind and very gracious. But it's just such a brilliant story. James Ackerman, the president and CEO of Prison Fellowship, with us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. Let's talk a little bit about the Academy. Because again, we've had sort of two missions, two narratives that I've shared with our audience all over the country. At Christmas time, it's the Angel Tree campaign, but I wanted everybody to know this month about Prison Fellowship Academy. Talk to us specifically about what the Academy does, what it's all about.
Yeah, so the Prison Fellowship Academy is a year-long intensive program that men or women apply to get into. These are men and women in prison apply to get into. There's a lot of work involved. All the curriculum they'll experience is grounded in biblical principles and the Gospels of Jesus Christ. But we welcome anybody to apply for the Prison Fellowship Academy of any background, of any faith, or no faith at all. But everything we teach is rooted in the Bible. And so the whole goal of the Prison Fellowship Academy is to guide men and women to begin to understand what it means to be a good citizen and begin to practice the habits of good citizenry, and so good citizenship. And so that is what the prison, in a nutshell, that's what the Prison Fellowship Academy does. There's 178 academies in 33 states as we speak. Program is growing substantially year over year, and the results are unbelievable in terms of men and women returning to our communities who are healthy and productive citizens.
I want you to learn all about this amazing, amazing, beautiful, beautiful ministry and this great effort to turn lives around. Go to MikeOnline.com, click on the Breaking the Cycle of Crime banner at the top of the page. I guarantee it will bless you as it has blessed all of us here at Team Gallagher. MikeOnline.com, click on the Breaking the Cycle of Crime banner at the top of the page. And James, How about this 14-day devotional written by actual Prison Fellowship Academy participants? I've gotten tons of feedback from listeners who have been just delighted at receiving this devotional for free.
Oh, yeah, the devotional, I think we're in our fifth version of it. And the devotional was the brainchild of one of our Prison Fellowship staffers who said, you know, there are really strong believers in prison, and why don't we draw on their experience to write a devotional for people who aren't in prison? And so we make that devotional available to our followers, to our donors, to other people that are interested in Prison Fellowship. And, yeah, it's a 14-day devotional. That where every single devotion is written by a man or woman in prison who actually identifies their first name and the verse that is really moving them and shares their narrative and a devotional for us to experience. It's a very, very powerful book. And as I said, I think we just finished publishing our fifth version, and we're going to continue to carry on these 14-day devotionals written by men and women in prison, but for you and I on the outside.
James Ackerman, President and CEO of Prison Fellowship, thank you for your support of the Mike Gallagher Show. Thank you for your partnership. We are so honored and grateful to be able to share all of this with the world and our audience. My goodness, we knew they'd step up at the come Christmas time. But it has kind of blown our minds, because every campaign that we've done, this audience has donated well over $200,000 to send Christmas gifts and the gospel and a message from their mom or dad. In fact, if you don't mind, take just a few seconds, James, to walk through the Angel Tree campaign, because, hey, before you know it, we're going to be at Christmas time.
We are, and the Angel Tree is really a year-round initiative. So right now, as we speak, we are working with chaplains to distribute Angel Tree applications in prisons all over the country. We distribute to just over 1,300 state, federal prisons and high-profile jails, and encourage moms and dads in prison to sign up with their children for Angel Tree. We then take those applications towards the end of summer, process them, and then distribute those kids to churches all over the country. 5,000 to 7,000 churches a year participate in Angel Tree. And in any given year, we have 250,000 to 300,000 children signed up to be served at Angel Tree Christmas. So it's happening right now. The parents are signing up their kids.
All right. I'm going to put everybody into a holiday spirit, because it may be June 23rd, but Christmas time will be here before you know it. And I get very excited at the idea of our audience delivering these Christmas presents and the gospel to these children, because you think about it, James, as you know better than anybody, that may just give kids a path to take that they weren't going to take, you know, and they may just turn to God and turn away from crime and a life of despair. I don't know. I hope you know how much Prison Fellowship means to all of us here at the Mike Gallagher Show. Thank you, James Ackerman. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us, and we know we're grateful to you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. James Ackerman, we're going to put you in the holiday spirit right now, the Christmas spirit. Okay, it's June. It's hot. It's 110 degrees everywhere. But let's put you in a little holiday mood and get ready for the Christmas season of giving to our Prison Fellowship campaign. We'll be starting up in a few months. More coming up on this busy, action-packed Thursday. Breaking news, we're watching the Supreme Court. If the decision comes down in the middle of the show, of course, we'll break it all down for you. I also want to break down a perfect take on the January 6th Select Committee nonsense. It came from Red State. You'll want to hear it next.
The Mike Gallagher Show is now on TV. Watch the show every weekday on SalemNewsChannel.com or Rumble.com. Everything you love about the radio show, now on TV. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com or Rumble.com.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best night's sleep of our lives. He created the Giza Dream bed sheets. Trust me, they look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me. He found the world's best cotton in an area called Giza. Well, his incredible deal is the sale of the year. for Team Gallagher for a limited time, you're going to get 60% off these Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a set for as low as $39.99, and for a limited time with any purchase, you'll get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code MikeG. It's an inspirational story of Mike's life. What are the odds from crack addict to CEO? Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Mike Gallagher Listener's Square, and use the promo code MikeG. Along with this offer, you'll get the deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the pillow that started it all. $69.98, ordinarily just $19.98 with promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG, like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code MikeG.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
How sick are we? Is our body politic? How unhealthy is it? We're not dead. I guess that's the good news. But how close to death are we?
We're going to see a reprise, I fear, of the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa riots, where they're going to try to use political violence to advance their ends. And the Department of Justice needs to step in and stop them.
They're going to take my jewel away from me? Is that what they're going to do? They're going to make it illegal? I'll do it on the air, get arrested?
No. From the Relief Factor. Studios. Here's Mike Gallagher.
To quote somebody I heard yesterday on Capitol Hill, we got a heck of a mess on our hands. We have got a real crap storm. When you're the Biden administration and you're losing CNN, you're in trouble. I want you to, this gas tax holiday, we told you about it yesterday, this gimmick, this desperate act of despair on the part of the Biden administration to try to give the pretense of doing something about their policies leading to skyrocketing fuel costs. Because there's a real easy way to fix it. You don't need to be a Rhodes Scholar to know that when you shut down fracking, when you shut down oil production, when you destroy Trump's energy independence that was benefiting the American people, you're going to pay a heavy price. Listen to CNN reporter Matt Egan. Again, CNN. And believe me, more people are going to hear this now than watch CNN. I promise you. We have bigger ratings weekly than CNN does by a long shot. In fact, I saw a note yesterday online about their ratings. They are at the lowest rated point in about 20 years or some crazy number. Nobody's watching CNN because the dogs don't like the food. People are not buying what they're selling. But I do want to share an example of a propaganda network that is all Democrat all the time, like CNN, and what reporter Matt Egan said to CNN's Erica Hill just yesterday.
But, you know, to John's point, there are some serious problems here. And it's also important to remember that just because things poll well doesn't mean it's necessarily smart policy, right?
Wait, what?
Not always the same thing.
Noted.
But, like John said, this does nothing to fix supply. Mm-hmm. It actually supports demand at a time when demand can't keep up with supply. Moody's economist Mark Zandi, he told me that he is concerned that this could be inflationary. And there's no guarantee that energy companies are going to pass along the entire savings here. And then there's the fact that this money funds the building of highways at a time when the construction of the building of the highways has gone up because of rising costs for building material and labor. So there's a lot of issues here, and I think it does show why Obama in 2008 called it a gimmick.
Uh-oh, you're losing CNN, Biden. You've lost CNN. You're losing Democrats. He's not going to run in 2024. After the midterms, he's going to make an announcement that he has, for the good of the country, decided to step aside, and then we better get ready to contend with a Kamala Harris for president campaign or one of the other loons on the left. Because, if you dispute what I'm saying about the Biden administration, claiming that Putin is responsible for gas prices and inflation, I give you the White House press secretary, who speaks with one voice for the President of the United States just the other day. Here is the official White House position on Putin, Ukraine, and our economy.
Dealing with what the Americans are facing at the pump, which is high prices due to inflation, due to the part of it is the pandemic, part of it is Putin's war on Ukraine and the Putin's tax hike.
Pandemic, Putin, the mosquitoes, the winter solstice. I mean, they're doing everything to try to convince you that their disastrous policies aren't directly responsible for wrecking the economy. But I give you the Fed chair. This is the chairman of the Federal Reserve. This is Biden's Fed chair, Jerome Powell, talking to Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Hagerty.
Given how inflation has escalated over the past 18 months, would you say that the war in Ukraine is the primary driver of inflation in America?
No, inflation was high before, certainly before the war in Ukraine broke out.
I'm glad to hear you say that. The Biden administration seems to be intent on deflecting blame, and as recently as just this past Sunday, spread the misinformation that Putin's invasion of Ukraine is the, quote, biggest single driver of inflation. I'm glad you agree with me that that is not the truth.
It is not the truth. Thank you, Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, for confirming that the Biden administration is lying. They are lying. These aren't political campaigns. These are people's lives. You think a 17 cent break on gas because of this gimmicky, schmaltzy, ridiculous federal gas holiday is going to change anything? Here was the always glib and humorous and wise Senator John Kennedy yesterday to the Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
Look, Mr. Chairman, we got a hell of a mess here. Okay? We inflation is hitting my people so hard they're coughing up bones. I don't care what the inflation is in other parts of the country, of the world. I'm sorry they're having inflation in other parts of the world, but them in misery doesn't make my people feel better. They're still miserable. Inflation is hitting people so hard, they're coughing up bones. It's the highest in 40 years. Our national debt is greater than our national output. Crime's up. The border's open. Respect for institutions is way down. And 70% of the American people think we're headed in the wrong direction. Now, we got a hell of a mess.
It's a good way to describe it. We got a hell of a mess. How you feeling about pulling that lever for Joe Biden these days, huh? How do you feel? I like to do this every once in a while, and especially at times like these, when we see the hell of the mess that we are in, to quote Senator Kennedy. Did you vote for Biden? Can you give us a few minutes of your time and call me at 800-655-MIKE? Let's do a segment with Biden voters. It'll be a good day to practice my non-interrupting skills. Had some doofus write me yesterday, "You interrupt, I'm never going to listen again." Oh, come on. I get emotional, I admit it. But I'll work on it right now. If you voted for Biden, how are you feeling right now with the condition of America? 1-800-655-MIKE, 800-655-6453. Join me, Biden voters.
To Mike on the radio, you'll love watching Mike on TV. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com and watch the Mike Gallagher Show every day. That's SalemNewsChannel.com.
Sure that you were mine.
If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much for your wireless service. Because Pure Talk gives you the exact same 5G coverage as one of those big carriers on the exact same network. but saves the average family over $800 a year. And PureTalk doesn't lock you into an overpriced, unlimited data contract. Why pay for data you don't need? Instead, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And switching is so easy. You can keep your phone and keep your number. Or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. So what are you waiting for? Start saving today. Go to puretalk.com, type in your address to find the coverage at your home, then enter promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code HALFOFF. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
How sick are we? Is our body politic? How unhealthy is it? We're not dead. I guess that's the good news. But how close to death are we?
We're going
to
see a reprise, I fear, of the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa riots, where they're going to try to use political violence to advance their ends. And the Department of Justice needs to step in and stop them.
Is it going to take my jewel away from me? Is that what they're going to do? They're going to make it illegal? I'll do it on the air, get arrested?
No, from the Relief Factor.com studios. Here's Mike Gallagher.
So a major Supreme Court decision just handed down. It is not the Roe v. Wade decision, but it sure is big when it comes to the Constitution and the Second Amendment.
Breaking now on the Mike Gallagher Show.
The Supreme Court ruled that New York's regulations that made it difficult and onerous to obtain a license to carry a concealed handgun were unconstitutional. It's a huge, huge win for the Second Amendment. Boy, what does it feel like to be living at a time when the makeup of the United States Supreme Court, after all the years we suffered through liberal majority courts and rulings and decisions that just hammered conservatism, hammered originalist thinking, hammered the Constitution, shredded the Constitution. I'll never forget the quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who once said, when asked, what country would you consider to has the perfect Constitution that you would adhere to, that you would admire? And it was South Africa. A U.S. Supreme Court justice not pointing to the United States Constitution as the Constitution that a hypothetical new country should model itself after. It was South Africa. A lot of people on the left don't like the United States. A lot of people on the left don't like the Constitution. They don't like the flag. They don't like what we normal people love. And one of the things we respect is the Constitution. A key part of the Constitution is the Second Amendment, which is why John Cornyn and Lindsey Graham and Tom Tillis and all the rest of these Republicans are misguided and disastrous in their approach to red flag laws and overturning and imposing gun restrictions on Americans as a result of mass shootings. But let's go back to what the Supreme Court did. Let's just revel in the moment where we can thank President Trump, which for many people, I remember going back a couple of years, one of my colleagues, Hugh Hewitt, who wasn't always on board with Donald Trump, clearly, on again, off again, as many have been. But he kept saying the reason to vote for Donald Trump is the Supreme Court. In fact, once I heard Hugh say three reasons to vote for Donald Trump. Reason number one, the Supreme Court. Reason number two, the Supreme Court. Reason number three, the Supreme Court. The judiciary matters. It's where we as a people have to live or die by the law of the land. And the Supreme Court just upheld the right to get a concealed weapon, a concealed carry permit in the state of New York, where the bar isn't set ridiculously high. Let's get an analysis from law professor Jonathan Turley moments ago on Fox News.
This is a momentous decision for gun rights advocates and for the Second Amendment. It has all of the elements that you often associate with a Thomas opinion. He brings up sort of originalist history, swatting back arguments from later and after the ratification as largely irrelevant to understanding the intent behind the Second Amendment. But most importantly, the court rejects a two-part test for looking at limitations on gun rights and stresses you need to presume that people have a right to exercise individual rights like gun possession. And that means that you can't put this sort of thumb on the scale, as New York did here, and say, show us that you have proper cause, including moral standing, to have a gun. And what the court really hammers at is that this would not be tolerated with other rights in the Bill of Rights. And there is a tendency among some judges and many legal analysts to treat the Second Amendment as something less than an individual right. And what Justice Thomas is saying here is that this is an individual right with the other rights in the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And we don't like shifting the burden to people to say, prove you need to use this right.
Now, you know, all I can think of when I hear Jonathan Turley is this boneheaded effort to let the authorities confiscate guns from people who are deemed by others to somehow be dangerous and unworthy of that gun. That's exactly what Senator Cornyn and these 13 other Republicans are embracing. And there isn't any way around this. And if John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, is the leader of this Republican effort to compromise, to capitulate, to cower and bow down to the Democrat gun-grabbing effort, wow, get a load of what he said about the NRA. The NRA rightfully condemned this gun control effort that this gang of 20 has advanced. And of course, with at least 10 Republicans, maybe more, on board in the Senate, and with the Democrats holding control of the House, this is likely to pass. If a Texas senator is disparaging the National Rifle Association the way John Cornyn did, you realize we're kind of in upside-down territory. Listen to this.
On the NRA strongly opposing the legislation, do you think that that will sway any of the Republican votes from last night?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. We worked with the NRA, listened to their concerns, but in the end, I think they simply they have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation. And so I understand where they're coming from, but I think most people will not allow any outside group to veto good public policy.
Wow. He understands that they just have, this is just their business model, that the millions of members, those of us who belong to the NRA, we just oppose any kind of legislation whatsoever, which incidentally is so false. How many times have I had the National Shooting Sports Foundation on to talk about gun locks and gun registration or gun safety courses, and responsible gun owners don't just have a knee-jerk opposition to anything. We just happen to be pro-Constitution. So using the principles that you just heard from Jonathan Turley as it applies to this big Second Amendment victory from the Supreme Court today, doesn't it apply to what Cornyn and Lindsey Graham and Tom Tillis and all the others are trying to do? This gang of 20? Do you have a right to keep and bear arms or don't you? Does the government have a right to take your gun away because your neighbor doesn't like you and has maybe falsely reported that you're a danger? Uncle Fred, boy, I don't like Uncle Fred. I know how to get him. I'm going to report him and get his gun taken away from him. Under the guise of red flag laws, under the guise of doing something about those poor kids killed in Uvalde. I got an idea. You know what we ought to do about those poor kids killed in Uvalde? Make sure that law enforcement goes through the unlocked door within 3 minutes and take out the shooter and not sit around in the hallway with their thumbs up their ear. 800-655-MIKE, 800-655-6453. Hope you join us in the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Mike with you wherever you go. Download the Salem News Channel app on your mobile device and watch The Mike Gallagher Show anytime. The Mike Gallagher Show in the palm of your hand. Download the Salem News Channel mobile app today. Your faces. The Mike Gallagher Show.
This is a very dangerous road to go down, and you'd be eviscerating two fundamental rights, a Second Amendment right and the right to due process along the way. But yes, the red flag laws are nothing more than a green light for gun confiscation. And why in the world would we give more power to the same people who are willing to arrest folks in the name of safety in an emergency for taking their kids to a playground during COVID and locking down businesses?
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
I'm getting tons of thank yous. People are already getting their My Slippers and their My Sandals, brand new footwear from MyPillow. Mike Lindell's done it again. By golly, he just keeps coming up with products that just make me so happy. I'm sleeping right now on my Giza Dream Sheets. They're like a slate blue, real pretty, kind of a blue, not really a royal. I think it's called slate blue, but the Giza Dream Sheets are the most luxurious, soft, comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, ever. And for a limited time, still, you could buy one set of Giza Dream Sheets made from the finest cotton on earth, get the second set free. I love how extra long the corner pockets are for the fitted sheet part of the Giza Dream Sheets that Mike made. They're amazing. They're really comfortable. This is an incredible deal. Won't be here forever. Buy one set, get the second set free. They've also introduced these My Slippers, and they're starting to run out of the conventional My Slippers because they're so popular. They're getting more manufactured, but they've also introduced the all-season My Slippers. And you're going to get a huge discount on those as well. $90 off the My Slippers, $30 off the, now just $49.99 for the My Slippers, which is a great price. They're made in for men, women, moccasin or slip-on style, variety of colors. The soles of the slippers are so comfortable. I mean, you'll wear them all the time. A little secret, I got a pair of My Slippers that I use all the time to take out the trash, and I'm going to call my friends at My Pillow and have them send me a pair of My Slippers that I can wear here in the studio. It'll make me more comfy. And of course, the pillow that started it all, as low as $19.98, but only when you enter the promo code MikeG. You're only going to get these huge discounts when you enter the promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com. Look for the Mike Gallagher Radio Special Square. Click on that box, and then with anything you order, enter the promo code MikeG so you will save big. And you're going to support a patriot like Mike Lindell, who it feels like is getting more and more vindicated every single day. A guy who fights for this country. He loves the country. He loves President Trump. And he's been put through the ringer. Walmart might have canceled him and MyPillow, which is shameful, but you won't. Go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to enter the promo code MikeG with anything you order. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG, or call 800-928-6034, 800-928-6034, like we love to say.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code MikeG. Let's get into this breaking news. All kinds of it's all falling apart for the Democrats. Everybody knows it. The Supreme Court ruling today that regulations that make it difficult in New York State to get a license to carry a concealed handgun were unconstitutional and struck down. New York is flailing. Governor Kathy Hochul said, "Oh, we're not going to back down." All right, don't back down. Biden's approval rating, incidentally, his overall job performance slipped to 33% in a poll released yesterday by Quinnipiac University. The survey was taken from June 3rd to June 6th. Listen to this. Maybe you'd say when you hear those poll numbers, well, it's a bunch of us old people that don't like him. How about young people? You think 18 to 34-year-old voters are important? Well, the approval rating by Americans aged 18 to 24 gave Biden a 22% approval rating. You see, dirty little secret, they hate this guy's policies too. They wanted their college tuition paid for. Where's our free stuff? Hispanic voters? My goodness. Hispanics have traditionally and historically voted Democrat in this country. Right now, Biden, according to the Quinnipiac poll, has a 24% approval rating from Hispanic voters. Black voters, 49%. Now, when I hear a number and I hear a news story like 49% of black voters approve of Biden's work, 49% give him an approval rating, that, of course, means that a majority give him a disapproval rating. The majority of Americans, white, black, Hispanic, young, middle-aged, seniors, are in strong disapproval mode over the president of the United States. Joel is in Newark, New Jersey. Hey, Joel, welcome aboard. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks.
Just wondering what you think. Why does anyone need a machine gun? I mean, I'm not being sarcastic, just in general.
Well, what's a machine gun got to do with applying in New York State for a handgun?
Well, I'm talking about being against assault weapons in general. They're basically machine guns.
And yeah, but
I don't know. The Second Amendment gave the right to a musket, not a cannon.
Well, it didn't give it. No, it didn't. That's not true. I mean, can you cite? I mean, I love to engage with people that disagree with me, but I don't. I never like it when people make stuff up. Where does it say the word musket? Where does it say the word musket in the Second Amendment?
Because that was the only kind of gun that was in existence.
I didn't ask you that. I said, where does it say the word musket in the Second Amendment?
Well, if you don't make sense out of my answer, I don't know what to say.
How do I make sense out of a nonsensical answer? I'm just asking you. So you decided, since you've interpreted the Second Amendment to mean musket, that should make it so?
No, it's just that if that's the only kind of gun that was around, it obviously was referring to that.
Ah, I gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm with you then. Let's only allow Americans to have muskets. Makes a lot of sense, Joel. You're the logical one. Joanne is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Joanne. Welcome to the Mike Gallagher Show.
Hi, Mike. I'm a first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a teacher. Yeah, and I wanted to talk about how the Democrats always use these awful school shootings as a way to push their gun agenda. And as a teacher, and what the research will show you is, if we're not getting at what the problem is. And the problem is that we have a boy crisis in this nation. And what boys do, that besides falling behind girl students, what boys do overwhelmingly is play these violent video games. And so our problem is that they have become desensitized. And they're more likely to become violent. And because you have to ask yourself, why aren't girls doing this then? Why is it just boys, these young males who are doing this? And so the Democrats take this horrible, you know, tragedy that happens, and they use it as a way to push their agenda without actually trying to figure out, okay, but what is happening to our boys in this country that they're falling behind like crazy? They're more likely to commit suicide, engage in a violent act.
Yep.
Be addicted to drugs. It's horrible.
No, there's a lot of there. And not only that, I thought you were going to say, because there's an interesting theory that has emerged about Uvalde, and that is that men in general have been emasculated by the woke crowd, by all of the debate about men and women and what role we all play. And a lot of men are just cowards. Now, that's ironic, me pointing that out, because I'm the biggest coward of them all. Believe me, I'm no tough guy. I live in constant admiration of men and women who serve our country in the military, who serve communities by being police officers or firefighters. I'm in constant admiration of gutsy people. And most people are gutsy. Many people are gutsy, I should say. A lot of people have a lot more courage than I'll ever have. So I am in constant awe of people who are so brave. And the Uvalde failure betrays all of that. Those men, maybe some women, let's be blunt, appeared to cower in a hallway because, as the DPS chief put it, they were more afraid for themselves and more interested in protecting their own safety than the safety of those innocent children and teachers. And that is a American tragedy. Uvalde is going to go down as a shameful, shameful chapter in this great country's story. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the assertion that it was all of the cops that were wrong. I keep thinking about the officer. I think he was a sheriff's deputy, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been in the county, in the city, but he was law enforcement. His wife was one of the murdered teachers. After she was shot, she had the wherewithal to call her husband, her protector. I'm going to get emotional here thinking about this and talking about it. But as she was dying, she called and I'm sure said, "Help me. Honey, I'm dying. I've been shot." And he raced to the school, and those cowards prevented him from entering the building to save his wife. And not only did they detain him and prevent him from entering the building, apparently, they took away his gun. A cop. Now, is that a community of cowards and wimps and emasculated men? I don't know. That was a theory. I mean, I saw that the other night on Tucker Carlson's show, Jason Whitlock advancing that theory, and I believe that has some merit. I don't think that's a crazy argument. You know, everything is upside down. And we're pretending that men are women and women are men, and there's no merit to strong masculinity. The left and the woke crowd constantly complain about toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity. Don't mansplain me. Well, I wish there'd have been some toxic masculinity in Uvalde that day, because I'll bet you there'd be a whole bunch of innocent, beautiful little children and a couple of teachers who might be alive today. I can't even bear the thought of that husband and what he is experiencing right now, thinking that he could have saved his wife if his fellow law enforcement officers would have let him in the building. And by the way, he might have saved a whole lot of other lives too. I can't even bear it. It's horrible. But do you think there's any kind of a connection between what the left and what the beast, the media, academia, the Democrats, the machine, what the beast has done to our culture? Could that be part of it? I also think another big part of it is the way we have hamstrung law enforcement. They're not allowed to lift a finger to help people without being scrutinized or second-guessed or attacked. Very tough time. At least good news out of the Supreme Court today. We'll revisit that in just a moment. If you're just joining us, a huge victory for the Second Amendment and gun owners in America with a U.S. Supreme Court ruling today. No Roe v. Wade today. Maybe tomorrow. Gosh, I hope it's tomorrow. I hope it's not next week, because broadcasting from Oberammergau, Germany might be a little tricky. But you know what? Eric Hansen and the team can figure it out. I just know it. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
remember you, like a child girl.
The Mike Gallagher Show is now on TV. Watch the show every weekday on SalemNewsChannel.com or Rumble.com. Everything you love about the radio show, now on TV. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com or Rumble.com.
Take good care. Hope you make a lot of nice friends out there. But just remember there's a lot of bad and beware.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
On the radio for seven-year-old Mike Galler, 1967 Mike, Johnny Cash, and June Carter Cash, born this date, 1929. June, country royalty herself, coming out of the Carter family, AP, Maybelle, Sarah Carter, who were big in like the 20s. But then June Carter Cash is his bride from the 60s all the way till his death. So June Carter Cash with a birthday. Howdy, how are you?
Good morning. I love it when there's a commercial that's a popular commercial that brings back a legend like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, huh? What's the brand? What is that? I can't think of what the company is that they're using. Car commercial?
I don't
Chevy?
Know.
Somebody knows. I'm sure. And you know how to, and I'll get the answer on the MyPillow text line.
MyPillow text line, 1-800-655-MIKE.
800-655-6453. Send me, tell Mark and Mike who that is, because right, we got the smartest.
How about this? How about Choice Hotels?
Is that who it is?
Yeah, the idea being, you know, your business travel. I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere, everywhere. Okay. Well, now you don't have to text me, but you can text me anyway and tell me why I'm right and Mark's wrong. 800-655-MIKE. Mark, have you ever seen anything, any presidency backfire daily? Like this one keeps back, the gas tax
even
gimmick.
Among its faithful, even Democrats are throwing shade at this 18 cent nonsense.
They're just, it's not, what is that, 18 cents? I mean, are you kidding? Go buy an electric car.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's working for them. Dude. And you're right, when the Democrat, how about the Fed chairman, Powell, directly contradicting Biden yesterday? By saying, no, gas prices weren't going up as a result of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. How embarrassing is that? That's Biden's Fed. And did you see that clip?
I did.
I mean, just stood there, sat there, said, no, it's got nothing to do with Putin. The prices were going up beforehand. I mean, there's nothing. And now the January 6th committee is postponing the final two June hearings until July. Like Red State's Bonchi points out, all of a sudden they got a treasure trove of new evidence.
Oh, they got him now. They got him now, Mike. They found
the walls
new
are closing
stuff.
In.
Right, here we go. It's just a matter of time.
The walls are closing in, right? It's hysterical. Nothing is working. And, you know, I got a great deal of feedback on my question going to Uvalde for a moment about this Arredondo character, how he's not facing criminal charges. I mean, Mark, if you're complicit and you tell officers to stand down and these children are being slaughtered one by... How do you not bring up a criminal charge on this?
Here's the answer I've gotten, because I had a bunch of conversations about this actually yesterday with folks with some legal minds, because I said, look, I told them that you and I had talked about this, and America is talking about this, and some negligence seems so – well, let's make it about us first. We are so hurt. We are so angry. And please, you and I are just on the radio. Think of these families. Think of this community and how they must feel thinking of these children possibly bleeding out as the first responders.
About the husband whose wife, dying wife, called him and said, come get me. And they detained him and took his gun from him.
Yep. While she died on the other side of that door. So I can't even. So starting from that, you don't want to reach judicial conclusions based on that kind of anger, and we don't make something illegal just because we're really upset. But some of the folks I've talked to, and you talk to 100 lawyers, get 100 different opinions, they kind of agreed with what you and I said yesterday, and that is that while, of course, there's no criminal intent on the part of Arredondo or any of these folks, but you said from drunk driving to leaving your car, your kid in the car in the backseat, to Amber Geiger, she thought it was the wrong apartment, shot a guy. There are some negligence that is so egregious that you have actually committed a crime. And
see, I think this is worse than Amber Geiger. I think this is worse than an accident. This is an intentional negligence. This is, I mean, I know there's no obviously no intent to have the kids die, but when you're intentionally saying, nope, we're going to wait for
Totally onto something, because between the complete accident where there's no criminal negligence, and at the other end is criminal negligence where you want something bad to happen, in that middle ground is this, where you have something where he didn't want anybody to die, he didn't mean ill will toward anybody, but he simply did not do. It was a crime of omission rather than commission.
Bingo.
Guilt because of what he did not do rather than what he did.
You know, I just got a text. Speaking of the text message, the reason the January 6th committee is delaying, they don't want to go against the Roe v. Wade narrative when that decision is overturned. And it could come today. It could come tomorrow. Listen, I've never been so anxious for a Supreme Court decision in my life, not only mostly because of all the babies that'll be saved.
Yep.
But also, I'm scheduled to go to Germany, and I can't miss this, so I'm going to have to broadcast from stinking Germany.
You'll be sitting over there in Munich talking about Roe v. Wade.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Oberammergau. It's the Oberammergau version.
Willkommen auf mein Gallagher Programm.
Well, do you have your papers? Well, I mean, it will be. I know nothing. I'm ready for my Sergeant Scholl imitation, but it could be today or tomorrow. Like you said, it's weird that they added this extra day tomorrow.
What Tom Strata. That? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they added tomorrow, and so it's today around 9 a.m. You know, we're going to get the first round, and then tomorrow around 9 a.m., which, you know, you and I will be on the airwaves, and we'll break it all down. So, again, hopefully it's going to be. And, you know, let's see. Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz last night on TV, is absolutely predicting the kind of violence we saw post George Floyd. Not predicting, but, of course, I think he's worried about
it. I've come close to, listen, I wrote my prior Newsweek column begins, no one wants to predict violence. As some of these juries were, you know, deliberating various racially charged police shootings, I didn't want to sit here and say, boy, if this goes the wrong way, you know, there's going to be blood in the streets. And I did not do that. I did not want to do that. And I always want to hope for the best. This one, pretty impossible. Look what's happening to the crisis pregnancy centers. Good-hearted angels among us who are just trying to get women to choose life, and they're getting blood spattered on them, and a bunch of people up there in crayon going, if abortion's not safe, neither are you. This Jane's Revenge group, or as Jesse Waters keeps calling them, Jane's Addiction, which is a 90s band. Anyway, they are domestic terrorists, exactly. So I do not feel good about my country in terms of what happens with Roe v. Wade goes down.
Let's stay in the area but not feeling good. How about John Cornyn now going to war with the NRA?
Yep. We're not going to let outside groups interrupt what are really constitutional. This is in the same category as Cornyn calling us a mob. I haven't caved to mobs, and I know he was being booed at the convention. That's probably who he's talking about. But those were constitutionalists and Second Amendment protectors making clear their dissatisfaction.
He's using a left-wing talking point and an anti-Second Amendment talking point that Democrats have used for decades about the NRA. And the NRA is like, well, they oppose any legislation whatsoever.
Stand in the way of every. You can't get anything by these guys.
They're pro-Constitution, and they're certainly pro-Second Amendment. But here, as you said, you played the clip. In the end, Cornyn said, I think they simply, they have a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation.
Stop. Exactly right. A business model.
Business model.
It's not their heartfelt devotion to the Constitution. It's a business model.
And he's using an argument, the counter-argument, because I know he's getting bombarded with opposition. There are no red flag. There are no red flag laws in part. Of course there are. Of course there are red flag laws. Is he peeing on our leg and telling us it isn't raining?
Is his point to say, as some have, trying to make us like it, it doesn't create a federal red flag law. No, it doesn't. It sends money we don't have, to the states so that they can rape the Constitution.
which is as big a gimmick as Biden's federal gas tank holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal to see what these guys are, what happened to, I don't, has John Cornyn, and you just said something that gave me chills a few minutes ago. Has he always been like this? Or is he getting worse? What's going on?
I will tell you this. When you do not have to face the voters and may never face them again, John Cornyn is a very youthful 70. Whatever he's doing, we should be doing it, except strategically. And so when he's up again in 2026, he'll be 74. He may be done. I don't know. He may be done one way or the other. But if he when you are not facing – none of these 14, by the way, four of them are retiring. Rob Portman and Blunt and Burr and I forget who else, Toomey. Funny, Toomey voted the first time but not the second time. These folks are not faced. None of them are facing voters this year. When you're not facing voters, you get the real guy. You get the real gal. You get the real person because they're doing what they want to do without fear of repercussion of the ballot box.
You know who's not retiring? Liz Cheney. She's running for re-election. Well, wonder how that's going to work out for her.
I know. Well, I'm scared. It's Wyoming. Yeah, she's a big name. She's done a lot that's good. I think it's all erased by the fact that Trump hatred ate her brain. There is no runoff. And as I've said, Harriet, and it's not Hagerman, it's Hagerman, correct? Everybody in that race should get out and back Harriet. Because one-on-one, she loses. But I fear Liz Cheney, with no runoff, getting 35%, meaning 65% don't want her. But she's got 35, Harriet's got 32, and the rest have the remaining, 20-some. And it's scared.
I love the fact that I'm reading from the New York Post about Biden's latest job performance approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
And the survey found that 22% of Americans aged 18 to 34 approve of his performance. 22%. That's the lowest of any age group.
The youngsters.
Listen to this. I watched Myra Flores, that South Texas marvel, on Tucker Carlson last night.
Whom you interviewed her first.
We interviewed her the other day.
Man, she was so great.
Our first interview. She's terrific. She went literally from picking cotton, because a lot of Hispanic, South Texas residents do that. They are in the fields picking cotton. She's now a member of Congress. Her district, she's facing redistricting. There's a lot of questions about whether she's going to get to hold on to it. But for now, they put that nameplate on that wall. She is a U.S. Congresswoman. Well, Biden right now, according to the Quinnipiac poll, has a 24% approval rating among Hispanics in America. Mark, 24%. Hispanics have always voted Democrat. That's always been a reliable voting block for the Democrat Party. No more.
And it'll be interesting because you know what people have said for decades and decades. It's been pretty true. It's like, boy, it's all about the Hispanic vote. The Hispanic vote is key. The Hispanic vote is the lever on which this election turns. And by the way, that's often been true. I wonder if people will be saying that a lot less now that it looks like Hispanics are turning Republican in large numbers.
How about Black Americans? The Quinnipiac poll says 49% of Black voters approve of Biden's work. That means 51% disapprove.
I don't want to overanalyze, it used to be
70-80%.
But I'll tell you what, there's a still walk of 100 miles before you get these folks voting Republican in 22 and 24. Some of them may just stay home.
Why are you negative, Nancy?
But I don't want to turn all those show me 100 Black folks.
This is good news.
It's very good news, but just don't take all those Black folk or the Hispanic folk disappointed with Biden and say, well, they're definitely going to vote Republican.
Here's what I love about this New York Post article. I got to quote this to you, and you'll love this.
Mm-hmm.
Although elected with the most votes in U.S. history, Biden's support cratered about 7 months into office during the chaotic U.S. pullout from Afghanistan and remained low as inflation and violent crime spiked.
Uh-huh.
I always love that. But by the way, that's a pretty good reminder. Oh, yeah. elected with the most votes in history. Sure he was. Yeah, those 11 people that went to his parking lot rallies really multiplied.
Absolutely.
Like the loaves and the fishes on election day.
Ain't nobody buying
what they're selling.
And last thing on all those minority voters, it's just a wonderful opportunity to light some energy for Republicans to do it. We have not done enough in the past decades, and that's get out into those Black communities, get out into those Hispanic communities and say, hey, and listen, phrase it however you like. What do you got to lose? However you want to phrase it. Say, look, we want your vote because we believe that stronger borders, a strong economy, American energy are good for people of every ethnicity.
I'd vote for you. I'd vote for you.
You got too, my buddy. Vote. I love you, man.
All right. All happy right. Thursday. Love you, man.
Happy Take Thursday. Care. Mike Gallagher here for you as soon as we're done at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.